In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you. And I just want to correct something. I misspoke at the end of the show yesterday. I mentioned that we're talking about missionaries today, which we are. And I said because of the feast of St. Francis Cabrini, which I assume was today. But it's tomorrow. I made the mistake because, remember, tomorrow's Wednesday. That means it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. And so I wanted to make sure we talked about the missionaries today so that, you know, we can use Word of God Wednesday to talk about, as we typically do, break open God's Word in the Scriptures. And so, but St. Francis Cabrini is tomorrow. Today is Jehoshaphat, who is the Eastern bishop who tried to bring unity to the church and was martyred for his efforts. So I want to make sure I give props to Jehoshaphat today. Right. And so again, this is I'm in New Philadelphia, Ohio. I just want to say thank you once again to the folks here at Sacred Heart Catholic Church and also Immaculate Conception Catholic Church as well. You know, this is the last night of the mission. We had a great turnout the last two nights. And tonight is the final night of the mission. We're talking about God's infathomable divine mercy. The talk's called Rich in Mercy. So if you're anywhere in the area of New Philadelphia, Ohio, come out and check us out here at Sacred Heart. And since this is my last day here, I want to take an opportunity to thank all the folks here. I've had an awesome, awesome time. I said I love speaking in places like this where you feel like you're part of a family, you know, when you're here at the parish. So I want to thank Father Jeff, you know, who's awesome. He's just a wonderful priest. We had a great time. We're kind of like brothers from a different mother, but we have the same Holy Mother though. Right. So thank you, Father Jeff, for your incredible, hospitality and friendship. Also Father Raj, who's new here. He's been here only about a month. So I didn't get a chance to interact with him that much cause he's been busy, but I want to thank Father Raj, as well. I want to thank, my brother deacons. There's one deacon here and one deacon at the other parish at IIC, as they call it. Deacon Ron, I want to thank him for his wonderful hospitality, to serve him at the altar, picking up at the airport, and we got a time to spend together and just, you know, talk about the diaconal ministry and how we're exercising that ministry in our respective callings from God. And so it's been great to work with him. He's been a fantastic host as well. Deacon Mark over at IC has been fantastic too. Got the chance to serve with him as well. It was fantastic. I want to thank the principal, Jennifer, over at the middle school, high school, for having me on Monday, come talk to the kids, the high school kids, middle and high school kids yesterday about the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I enjoyed it very much. The kids were very attentive, very respectful, and which I appreciated very, very much. I had a lot of fun over there with them. So I want to thank the principal, Jennifer, and then I also want to thank Marita, who's the director of music. She, in fact, I'm broadcasting from her office right now, the music room here at the Sacred Heart. So she's was so kind enough to allow me to use this space to do the show the past couple of days. And so I want to thank Marita, who, by the way, is a professionally trained opera singer. She spent 10 years in New York singing in churches and doing off-Broadway. And so she's a tremendously, tremendously talented young lady She came back home. She's from New Philadelphia. She came back home and is now director of music here at the parish. So thank her. And I want to save the best for last. I want to thank Kathy Hamilton. Kathy's director of faith formation. She's the one that worked with my team to get me here to the parish. And she's been absolutely great. You know, there's always that person in the parish that, you know, what would the priest do without them kind of a person? Well, this person is definitely Kathy Hamilton. So Kathy has been absolutely wonderful. I can't even say enough about how great she's been, how awesome it's been to work with her. All the coordination, you know, getting me from one place to another just has been absolutely great. So very well organized, which I very much appreciate. Just made life so easy for me. So I want to thank Kathy. I know she's listening in her office, which is just down the hall from where I am right now, because I know she was listening to the show yesterday. So I want to thank her. And I want to thank all the parishioners, too, and all the other folks that have come to the mission the past couple nights. You know, there is no parish mission without parishioners. So I want to thank everybody that's taken the time out of their busy schedules to come and to experience the power of God's love working through me, his unworthy servant, you know, just his instrument. And I'm trying to be a finely tuned instrument in God's hands so God can make beautiful music in this world. So thank you all very much for the community here in New Philadelphia in Ohio. So thank you so much. And today on the show, we're talking about missionaries, right? I was thinking about St. Francis Cabrini, whose feast day is tomorrow. But I was thinking about missionaries and wanted to make sure that we talked about them today. Because all of us, I think, now have experienced the power of missionaries. You know, there used to be back in the day where the United States and Europe, particularly Ireland and France, sent out priests to different parts of the world to spread the gospel, right? Jesus says in Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations. And so they sent missionaries out to the four corners of the earth. And so now fast forward all these years later, maybe even 100 years later, they are now returning the favor, right? So all the places where we went to on the continent of Africa, places like Nigeria, Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya, we went to Taiwan and Vietnam and Korea and India. You know, now those priests are being missionaries to us. Right. And so they're returning the favor, as well as the nuns, as well, the sisters, you know, the Sisters of Charity, you know, Mother Teresa's order and many other teaching orders of sisters have also come to the United States to help us and to assist us in the work of evangelization. And so we want to talk about them. We want to honor them and talk about missionaries and their role in the life of the church in the United States. Because the United States is now mission territory, as well as basically most of Europe. You know, I've been to some places on pilgrimage in Europe where they don't, people don't go to church. I mean, the church is like museums, you know. So I want to talk about the role of missionaries. We want to hear about your experience with missionary priests and sisters, nuns, working in your parish and in your diocese. We'd love to hear your experiences, your interactions with our brothers and sisters, priests and nuns who are now evangelizing us, right, and assisting us in serving the people of God in our parish communities all throughout the United States. The number to call to be with us today is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also email us, beacon@ewtn.com. You can also text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then text your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. All right. So we're talking about missionaries today. And, you know, in fact, my own parish, Immaculate Heart of Mary in Portland, for years now, has been run by priests from the Apostolic Life Community of Priests from Tanzania, ALCP priests from Tanzania. They're originally founded by a German missionary who founded the order, and now they're sending priests out all over the United States, in fact, all over the world. And so our parish has benefited from their service for many, many years now. In fact, I've been ordained 22 years, and they've been there the entire time in our parish. So talk about the missionaries, priests, and nuns today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Got your tap shoes on?
Oh, that's kind of cool. That's a nice little change up. How about that?
I feel like there's this transition of normal Beacon playlist into the holidays. So as we get closer, we can mix it up a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you know, this reminds me of, you know, back in the speakeasies, back in the
sure.
club, you see those movies like the cigarette smoke is rising and the guy's just playing at yeah. the piano, and you got the camera scans and looks at the scene and
yep.
in the bar there, something like that. Yes, that's pretty cool. Just kind of laid back.
It's our juke joint.
Yeah, the juke joint. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Just people. And it's great because the piano kind of serves like background noise.
Yeah.
You know? It right. Well, look at in the contemporary culture today, you go out like when we went out to dinner, right? Mm-hmm. The TVs and all the sports
right.
and stuff is playing all over the place. That distracts you.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas whereas you walk into a place where you hear this, you know, it actually, you know, almost gives you a calming effect and allows you to relax while you engage
yeah.
in conversation. You can still hear the person, you know, that you're sitting down with and having dinner with over the music,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's not too loud. It's just enough to create a mood.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
one
I
of
like
my
that.
Favorite places my wife and I like to go, they typically will have musicians playing while people are having dinner. Now the TVs are on too, but the volume's not up so you can hear the music. And anytime people stop to clap, most of the time the artists are like, oh, wait, I didn't realize you were listening to me. I'm supposed to blend in. But it's like, no, it's
yeah.
good.
I tell you right now, if I own the restaurant, no TVs.
No TVs.
None.
All right.
Zero. Zilch.
The Beacon
None.
Blues Club is going to be TV
free. You know
free.
What? Here's something novel. How about people just sit down and talk to each other?
Right.
How about that? Instead of their gaze wandering over the television, the idiot box. And anyway, getting off topic.
That's a whole nother topic. You know when to save it.
That's a whole nother topic. You listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And today we're talking about missionaries, the men and the women, priests, nuns, and even religious, right, brothers, and that come over and assist us in the ministry of evangelization here in the United States from all over the world, different countries on the continent of Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, Tanzania, Uganda, other places. We have priests and nuns here from India, from the Philippines, from Vietnam, and other places. We want to talk about them today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear your experience of missionaries in your parish or your diocese. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, our friends who are watching us on YouTube right now, they already know that you can, of course, check out EWTN radio and television programs on our YouTube channel. But if you are not there or haven't been in a while, just know from TV shows to live events, all kinds of homilies, and, of course, Beacon of Truth. Check that out when you go to YouTube and search EWTN.
Well, when you hear that music, that means it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is the part of the show we break open God's Word in the Book of Sung Praises. The Psalms, the wisdom, part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. And I want to make sure, I don't think I've mentioned this in a while, but I've been getting a couple of emails, people asking me, what version of the Psalms you're using again. So just a reminder, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms, right? The Revised Grail Psalms that were approved for use at Mass and prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. So you may be using a different version of the Psalms, and that's fine. No problem. And it's all good. It's all God's word. But I'm using this specific one largely because it's a little more faithful to the Hebrew, which I appreciate. But again, it loses a little bit of the sweetness of the translation from the previous grail. But whatever version you're going to read and pray through, that's the version that you should use. And remember, the Soulful Psalm segment is now its own podcast. You go to Podcast Central at EWTN.com or on the EWTN app, or you can go to iTunes or Spotify. You can download this as its own separate podcast, the Soulful Psalms. Today, we're going to take a look at Psalm 99. We're not going to be able to get through the whole psalm, but we're going to start our look at Psalm 99. Now, Psalm 99 is in Book 4 of the Psalms, which is Psalm 90 to 106. And most of the psalms in this, in Book 4 of the Psalms are unattributed, although 90 is Moses, and then some of the other psalms like 103 is David, who has, again, he's the only one that has Psalms in all five books. But today we're looking at Psalm 99. So we begin, and there's no prescript to this psalm, right? It just dives in immediately with verse 1 of the psalm. The Lord is king, the peoples tremble. He is enthroned on the cherubim, earth quakes. Woo! What a start to that psalm. Just right out the box, talk about the extraordinary power and awesomeness of God. The Lord is king, right? Again, people are all freaked out over the results of the election and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, look, I have a calm and peace no matter who would have won the election. We have to have a calm and a peace. Why? Because the Lord is king, right? Jesus Christ is ruler of our lives, not any political person, right? And the peoples tremble, right? That humility before the Lord. He's enthroned on the cherubim. So we talk about the cherubim is the seat where God sits, right? I mean, obviously, it's not a real chair. It's not a real seat, but the highest place where God dwells. In fact, we talked about the order of angels. We talk about the highest order of angels, cherubim and seraphim. Those are the angels that serve closest to God, right? And we see this image of God on the cherubim. I think it might be in the imagery of Daniel and or Ezekiel, some of the, you know, the kind of apocalyptic eschatological imagery that they use, like pointing toward the, you know, prophetic language, pointing toward the end times and things like that, or pointing toward the coming of Christ. So they use some of that language there about the cherubim. And it says earth quakes, right? So he talks about trembling. Then it talks about, you know, us trembling before the Lord, and then earthquakes. The earth is trembling before the Lord. Basically, again, I don't think it talks about being afraid of the Lord, but this humility, right? This humility, recognizing our lowliness in the face of God's majesty, right? The Lord is great in Zion. So Zion, of course, is Jerusalem, but that's kind of the heavenly name, the kind of the sacred name for Jerusalem is Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples, not just some of the people, even the people that don't believe in God. God is exalted over them. They can not believe all they want, but their denial of God does not remove the reality of God, right? And it continues in verse 3. Let us praise your great and awesome name. Yes, God's name is great. God's name is awesome. Holy is he. That is an awesome verse right there. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he, right? Kadosh. Holy is he. Holy is the Lord. O mighty King, lover of justice, you have established what is upright. You have made justice and right in Jacob. Right? So God is awesome. God is majestic. God is glorious. And out of that majesty and omnipotence and glory, he comes to do what? Establish what is upright, what is just, what is right. And he has established that justice and right where? In Jacob, right? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember whose name was changed to Israel. Because when God changes your name, he establishes a divine purpose for you. And so he changes name. So Abram to Abraham, right? Exalted father, Abram to father multitudes, Abraham, Jacob to Israel. Right. And then in the New Testament, Peter to Kaifa, right? To Kaifa, the rock, right? The rock on which God will, so Simon to Peter, Simon to Kaifa, on this rock he will build the church. And so we see that's why names mean things, right? We can't just in our culture today, we got to redefine things. No. Names are objective and names mean things. And so we have to be in awe of God's holy and sacred name and honor that by the witness of our lives.
Yeah, and I think it's the different names as we learn more of the different names of Christ or the different ways to describe him based on the meaning of the power of that. It takes away because so many times we say awesome God or he's amazing. And those words oftentimes get applied to other things in the world that lose its meaning. Or if you're saying God is awesome and the burger is awesome, then it's there's no way that it's the same awesome. It doesn't happen like that. So, you know, using those terms and those names that truly do define who God is or who Christ is in our lives and to the world helps us to kind of break away from some of those semantics.
Yeah, because you're right, because look what's happening in our culture today. They're talking about identity. Right. And so they have to redefine things because they're kind of redefined their identity. Our identity comes from nothing in this world. It doesn't come from social constructs. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come from philosophy. It doesn't come from, social engineering. It doesn't come from race,
right,
or culture or any of that. Our identity is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is who we are, not just what we do. That's who we are. So it doesn't matter what your state in life is. Our identity is in the heart of the living God.
Amen.
Right? And I think that's what's getting across today. Then finish up just verse 5 here. Exalt the Lord our God. Salau. All right. So you see that from time to time in the Psalms. You see a line, the transliteration is S-E-L-A-H, but it's pronounced, the A-H is actually Au in Hebrew, so Salau, which means rise up, exalt, right? So we exalt the Lord our God, bow down before his footstool, right? Again, showing that humility before the Lord. And then finally, we have a synonymous parallelism with verse number 3, holy is he, right? Kedosh means holy. Holy is he. All right. We're talking about missionaries today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN.
This is the riff you play when you get the guitar you wanted under the tree this year.
Yeah, that's right. You're breaking it in.
Play me something.
Right? Hey, when you get a new instrument, I don't think you do this for drums, but usually if you get a new bass or a guitar, I usually take it to Guitar Center or a place like that and get it set up.
Yeah.
Do you do that, or you just do it yourself?
It depends. Like, a lot of times I'll get stuff from either a store like that or order from, you know, a company that I trust that I know is going to set it up, because they tell you, hey, as a part of your purchase, we're going to make sure this is set, so when you get it, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And so now, of course, things can happen in shipping, but for the most part, I haven't had any issues with any of my gear.
Yeah, I always like my action a little lower, so you have to make a bridge adjustments or even sometimes a truss bar adjustment or something like that. I can't do that. I'm not comfortable with that, and so I just always bring it there and just let them get it set up so it feels right in my hands. 100%. I'm not a tall guy. I don't have big hands. I like my action a little lower so I don't have to fight as hard.
I just need to change my strings. As long as I have the Ernie balls, I'm good.
Oh, yes. Either Ernie balls or the Diary. I think Ernie balls have a little more bite to them, though, I find.
Like, especially for bass.
Metal,
I feel that. Yep.
Yeah, love that. All right. You listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and we're talking about missionaries today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear your experience of the men and women, the priests, brothers, nuns who have come from countries all over the world to serve us and our parishes and dioceses here in the United States. We used to be send the missionaries out. Now they're returning the favor. Would love to hear your experience of missionaries in your parish or diocesan community. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, we always look forward to Wednesday because Father Mitch Pack was on campus and he's always here to answer your questions and calls. EWTN Open Line Wednesday is a good chance starting at 3 Eastern. That way you don't miss out, so you can think about what is your question. So tomorrow you can enjoy talking to Father Mitch and get his cowboy perspective, as I like to always say. But, you know, anytime you get a chance to talk to him is a treat. So that's EWTN Open Line Wednesday coming up tomorrow on EWTN Radio.
All right. And we're talking about missionaries today on Beacon of Truth. You know, back in the day, we used to send men out as missionaries to different parts of the world, and also some European countries. To my mind, places like Ireland and France and Germany used to send missionary priests out all over the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, right? Matthew 28:19, the mandate from our Lord to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's what they did. And so now fast forward 100-plus years later, you know, Europe, basically nobody goes to church there. If you go on pilgrimage, you said a lot of churches are empty, except for like places like Poland and other places like that. But now we're missionary countries, and the places where we sent priests before, they're now returning the favor. And so we have awesome priests from and nuns as well, and even brothers from different religious orders that come over and assist us. We have nuns that come over. For example, in our Archdiocese of Portland, where I reside, we have a group of wonderful nuns. They reside. They live in a house right across the street from St. Rose of Lima Parish in Northeast Portland. And they work in the hospitals, right? And we have priests also from Tanzania and other places that are chaplains in the hospital. My parish, Immaculate Heart, has been we've had pastors from the Apostolic Life Community of Priests, ALCP, priests from Tanzania for I've been ordained 22 years, and I've been at Immaculate Heart all those years. And the ALCP priests have been there the entire time I've been at Immaculate Heart. And so many other places are benefiting. Here, right here in New Philadelphia, Ohio, you know, Immaculate Conception at the Masses this weekend, there were nuns in the front row. I think there were 5 or maybe 6 nuns from India who are here working in the schools, you know. And we have, again, I mentioned Father Raj, who's also here from India helping out. In Portland, we also have Indian priests and priests from Vietnam, right? And I know in Boise, Idaho, I met several priests from Poland as well. You know, so I love these missionary priests who have come to help spread God's word, to assist us in helping to build the kingdom. Helping God's the one that's building the kingdom, but assist us in bringing people to a deeper love and intimacy of Jesus Christ while God establishes his kingdom here on earth. Would love to hear your experience of missionary priests, sisters, nuns that are helping in your communities, in your interaction, the impact they're having in your life, in your parishes, in your communities. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Clara is calling from San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Clara, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. I am very excited because I am from Peru, South America, and I study with nuns, my high school. I live in a convent all my high school, and the reason was because I got the first place in elementary school, and so the government gave me a scholarship and paid for everything, even for to live in the convent, and I did, and I really developed a tremendous love for the Catholic Church, and since I was a little girl, when I had my, they were preparing me to have my my communion, first communion. And when the priest told me, this is Jesus, I look at him, and I felt deep in my heart and my thoughts and in my, I get excited when I say that. But I felt that it was Jesus, it really was Jesus. And never anybody have taken me away from their thought. And here when I came to the United States, many friends from other because I have friends from many churches and not Catholic, but I respect everybody and I love everybody. And they have tried to get me away from the Catholic Church, invite me to their churches. Sometimes I have being and I tell them, I am sorry, but I miss Jesus. I got to be close to Jesus. I cannot leave the Catholic Church. I cannot leave the Catholic Church because Jesus is there and alive. And when they tell me, well, I am Christian and you are Catholic, oh, well, Catholics to me are more Christian than anybody because we have Jesus alive without putting anybody down, you know. We have Jesus alive in the Holy Eucharist. And I have become so, so close to the Holy Eucharist that nobody can take me away from it, no matter what. But anyway, I study all my secondary in another city, in the school that was called Our Lady of Lourdes. They were poor clerks running the English is not my language. Sorry for the mistake. But they were running the school, and I was really happy, even though they were very, very strict. And I cried every night, missing my family, my friends, my church, my everything. But during the day, I was happy, studying, learning. And I did everything I could to obey and to be a good student. And when I finished, I got second place. The first place went to a lady whose father was a director of a high school, and we had to do a lot of homework and a lot of projects. And I didn't have anybody to help me. My auntie was very. Who was my sponsor, didn't come to get me out and to do the shopping for my material. Well, it was so hard for me. Still, I lost for one point, and that's the first place. But I had the second place. I was with honors in high school. I came to the United States, but before, when I left my high school, I went to Lima to study to be a secretary. When I came back with my degree, I came to a business school, and I studied more my career. And I was just about to graduate, and then one day I dreamed that I was in mass, and suddenly I saw in the mass came a priest to concelebrate the mass too. So he was with the priest that I knew, and he came, and he was going, they announced he was going to concelebrate. Well, at the end, when the mass finished, they introduced him as a visitor. That's it, as a visitor. And he looked at me, and then he came and gave me his hand. He said, "Hi, what's your name?" I said, "Clara Ponce, my name in Peru." And he said, "Well, I am Tomás," whatever he said. I don't remember his name in the dream. But he, that's all. Then I woke up, and I said, "Oh, I dreamed of this, please." And a month later, they announced that they were going to come. Some priests were going to come to the city to establish a church. And I said, "Oh, that's nice." Well, then suddenly the director called me to his office, and he said, "There is a priest who is coming first, and they are coming more priests, but he's coming to study the place, to look for a place to because they are going to establish a church, and they need a secretary, executive secretary, and to establish all the offices they are going to have, the parish and the to help the poor and the school and everything. And we have selected you, if you want, for them to be their secretary." And I said, "I would love to work for a priest. I would love to." And so I accepted. And they said, "Well, he's going to go to Lima, and when he comes back, he was going to call you. And we'll call the office in here, and we will tell you." Well, nobody told me. And I was waiting. And one day I went shopping, and I saw a priest, the same as I saw in the picture in the bulletin announcing that he was coming, the same who was in my dream. And I said, "This is the priest who was in my dream. This is the priest that was in his picture in the bulletin announcing that he was coming. He probably is the same priest that I am waiting for a call." And so he was playing with a little boy who was playing football. And then when he finished playing, I said, I went to him and I said, "Are you Father Thomas?" And "Yes, I am." And I said, "Oh," I said, "This is Clara Ponce. And you were asking for a secretary to start the offices in your school and in your parish." I said, "Oh, yes, I told them to give you a call and for you to come and talk to me, but I was thinking in getting somebody else because I didn't hear from you." And I said, "Well, they didn't tell me anything. They forgot. But we are here." And he said, "Okay." It was, I think, Thursday. He said, "Come tomorrow to my office and I will interview you." And on Monday, I started working. I worked for 12 years, and they were the happiest time of my life because I learned so much about the Catholic Church. I got so close to God through the priest and to the nuns. There were some nuns that came to work there too. And I was extremely happy. Up to now, my happiness has increased.
That is so beautiful. Clara, thank you so much for sharing such a beautiful story and testimony. You know, one thing that I was reflecting on as you were speaking, you talked about, you know, the Jesus is alive, especially most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. And a point I made at the mission, parish mission here last night, was that some people accuse the Catholic Church of cannibalism, you know, but cannibals eat the flesh of dead people. Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive. So it's not cannibalism, right? We consume the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus, who is alive and not dead, You know, so beautiful reflection. We're talking about missionaries today. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. We're talking about the impact of missionaries. Those who come from other countries, because the United States is a mission territory now, you know, as is many places in Europe. So we have, they're returning the favor. We sent missionaries out, and now they're sending missionaries to us, people from Poland, Vietnam, from many of the countries on the continent of Africa, Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya, Nigeria, are sending priests and nuns are coming from India. They're coming here and they're helping to bring us to a deeper love and intimacy of Jesus Christ. They're helping our priests in the parish. They're helping out in the schools. They're helping out in the hospitals and assisted care facilities. And I think the church in the United States is a lot stronger. And I think the church in the United States is much more beautiful and diverse now because of the influence of missionaries coming from other countries to help us here. We'd love to hear your experience of missionaries for you, personally impacting your life, as well as in your parish and your diocesan community. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Xenia, who's a regular contributor on YouTube, says, I was taught by the Felician sisters from Kalitz, Poland. They were instrumental in helping spread the divine mercy message from printing machines at their mother house in Thomasville, Connecticut. Yes. Oh, beautiful. What an extraordinary witness. And again, I've met a number of priests from Poland. I know in Boise, Diocese of Boise and other places, they have priests from Poland who have been coming and assisting. Again, really bringing a vibrant dynamism and, you know, opening the minds of many parishioners. You know, that we get focused on the church just being our particular mass on a particular Sunday. But one thing that I very much appreciated traveling around the world is seeing the church in other countries and seeing, the priests and the nuns that are coming here, seeing them in their country, in their environment, how they serve the Lord and meet the needs of their communities there, and how the sacrifice that they're making, leaving their families, leaving the only life that they know, leaving their friends behind to be missionaries. You know, tomorrow we're celebrating the feast of St. Francis Cabrini, who was born in a small village near Milan in Italy. And she grew up hearing these amazing stories of Catholic missionaries who traveled to far distant lands to share the gospel. And as a young adult, those feelings never left her. Those stories never left her heart. And she was resolved to join a missionary religious order. Now, because she was pretty frail in her health, she wasn't accepted right away into the religious community. But she didn't give up. And so at the age of 30, she founded the Institute of the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. She took her vows and changed her name. Again, when God changes your name, he changes your purpose, right? And so when you typically join a religious order, you change your name to represent your change in your life. Right. And so she changed her name in honor of the great missionary, St. Francis Xavier, and became known as Mother Francis Xavier Cabrini. Now, she had planned originally to establish a convent in China, but Pope Leo XIII asked her to go to the United States instead to focus her work on immigrants who the church felt were being neglected during that time. So she arrived in America, and she began her work in New York City. To support her first orphanage, she and her sisters begged for donations, even within the squalor of the neighborhood that she was in all around her. She begged for goods. Later, they set up a tiny hospital for the poor. and those funds came mostly from small change. You know, Mother Cabrini's resourcefulness and her beautiful determination overcame obstacles that seemed insurmountable, right? Because Jesus says nothing is impossible with God. And so by the grace of God, she, for the next 28 years, set up schools, hospitals, orphanages, convents in places all over the United States, including Chicago, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Denver, Seattle, and other U.S. cities. And soon requests started coming in from all over the world for Frances Cabrini to open up schools, which took her to Europe as well as Central and South America, right? And so she had that beautiful missionary spirit. God blessed her work, and she went out literally, as Jesus said, to make disciples of all nations. And we have benefited from priests and nuns from all over the, as I meant, continent of Africa, India, Vietnam, South America, Poland, who have come to the United States. And they leave their culture behind, and they have to learn, often have to learn another language, English. You know, and you know what hurts my heart is when I hear people complain, well, I don't understand them. You know, their accents too heavy, I don't understand them. You know, they're doing their best to acclimate to our culture. Some of them have to, the missionaries that come have to learn how to drive. They have to, you know, they have to learn another language, get used to our food, get used to our way of life. Some of them have never been in cold, you know, so they have to get acclimated to snow and winter, you know, and you know, we need to appreciate that instead of having resentment because, you know, you can't understand them. You know, I think that's a lame excuse myself. You know, you know, spend time with them. Invite them to your house. You know, once you get used to an accent, your ear picks it up. You can understand people with accents just fine. You know, Clara was just on just now. I can hear her. I understand her perfectly. You know, so you know, just open our hearts to receive what the Lord wants to give us in the great gift of the missionaries. In that same spirit of Frances Cabrini, let's open our hearts to receive the missionaries who have dedicated their lives to bring God's message to us here in the United States, North America, and throughout the world. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We'd love to hear your story of how missionaries that have come from other countries have impacted your life, have impacted your parish, have impacted your diocesan community. They've come to work in our schools, hospitals, orphanages, parishes, assisted living communities. Would love to hear how God has moved in your life because of their influence. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, I know for myself, Father Nicholas, who was the pastor at the time in Immaculate Heart, when I first moved to Oregon in 1995, he was instrumental in helping me discern a call to the diaconate, right? So here's a missionary priest, because I had heard the call to the diaconate, and I went and spoke with Father Nicholas about it. He was very encouraging. I remember clearly he pulled out the documents of Vatican II. He pointed me to Lumen Gentium, the Vatican, Second Vatican document on the church, the Light of Nations, and he let me read paragraph 29. At the lower end of the hierarchy is the deacon, and I read that paragraph, and I knew that God was calling me. So, and I served with Father Nicholas for almost, 16, 17 years before he moved, and now we have another wonderful priest from the same order, Apostolic Life Community of Priests from Tanzania. Father Paulinus is now at Immaculate Heart, and I just love serving with them. Then we got a quick, not that much time left. We're going to get David in from St. Louis. David is listening on Covenant Radio. The music's starting. Well, we can't get David in. He was going to tell us about how he responded to a Nigerian priest in his area. So, David, I want to thank you for calling. Sorry we couldn't take your call today. But please call us back again on a future show. Would absolutely love to hear from you. All right, so Mother Cabrini and so many others of the missionaries are, have brought vibrant life to our parish communities. So let's follow their example to see Christ in everyone we meet, especially in the person standing in front of us. All right. Tomorrow is Word of God Wednesday. We're going to talk about the prayer of Esther in the book of Esther. Very excited about that. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentralewtn.com/radio. May Almighty God bless you, my friends, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.